Time for that time of the week again. It's been a busy week, isn't it? And we've indulged ourselves in conversation about all the big issues of the week, and really quite rightly so. And we'll return to that on Monday morning from 9 o'clock, bright and early. But for the last hour of the 9 till noon show this week, we're just going to chill out, man. And we're going to talk about all things entertainment and frivolous, and we'll see where the conversation takes us. And I think today more than ever, we want you involved in the conversation. So have you been out to see anything good? Maybe you watched The Murder Capital last night. You want to give us a review? Maybe you went to the cinema, theatre. Maybe you went to see something live. Maybe you're reading a good book. What's your favourite podcast? We just want to talk about stuff that detracts us or distracts us sometimes from the grind of life, dragging the devil by the tail. Good morning to you, Michael Leddy.
Good morning to you.
How are you getting on?
I'm getting on very well.
Did I sell it?
I think that was the best ever intro.
Was it? Okay, I was just killing time waiting for El Capitan to come in. I don't have a list from you, Michael.
Oh, my goodness.
I presume it's the same mix of crap.
Yeah, the same mix of crap.
Sorry.
I don't know. I can't give you a printout. I'll give you my phone if you want my phone, but then I won't.
I just sometimes try and avoid some of the stuff you write down, but I'm a little bit hamstrung today. Good morning, Fanula Rabbit.
Good morning. Apologies for being late. I had to pee.
No, it's radio. No one would know. Okay, right. Oversharing.
Good to know. Well, it saves us having to ask.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you
do you feel better now? Did you?
I feel much better, I have to say. Lighter even.
All right, get involved
and
with us.
And that concludes the entertainment slot for this week.
And the tenure of our licence. 07491 25000, please give us a call, or 086 60 25000, or leave a voice message as well if you want to talk about something via voice message to WhatsApp 086 60 25000. I started watching...
Are you not going to talk about the most important news? I self-actualized the joy that is my life.
What do you mean?
Take that. I've just announced that they're coming. Last week I was talking about them. I've seen them a million times.
I heard.
And now they're coming.
I heard.
And you're taking responsibility?
I've self-actualized it.
Yes, I know you mean.
I heard Ivan talking about this on Thursday, I think it was. I didn't know it was actually.
So yes, yes.
Take that for coming back. You're going to go and see them for the gazillionth time.
Well, this will be my 10th.
Is Robbie going to be with them?
No, he's
not interested.
No. Now, oh my God. You obviously.
Oh.
Now, you've obviously just not experienced Take That properly, because without him, they are even a greater force.
Really? They're good fun, are they?
No, their concerts are actually absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. They're like,
I don't believe
like
you.
Going to a. It's like going to, like what you'd imagine, I've never been, but a Las Vegas show. You know what I mean? It's like, was that one time and they
Could
suddenly had
magic,
a man that came up, the stage grew. To become like a 50-foot man.
Wow.
Wow. What were you drinking?
Amazing kind of stuff. No. They had like an elephant. The stage turned into an elephant one time. They have like a big circus.
Where are they playing?
This time they're in the Three Arena.
Oh. Okay.
Well, that stage doesn't lend itself to big elephants and stuff, does it?
No, but what they did the last time when they did that was they put sheets all around, like obviously not sheets, but material all around the tree. And then it was like projected because it was under the sea was kind of the theme of the show. It's awesome.
All right, so you are excited and will be front row. You'll probably get tickets for that.
Oh, yeah.
You let me down in Coldplay, but anyway, that's fine.
Fingers crossed. It's hard to get tickets now. It's not like it used to be.
Yeah, you used to be really good at that. Now you're actually a bit of a letdown.
I know. We were just talking about it there. I think there's a guy in MCD who doesn't work there anymore, but they keep telling me he's the decision maker. I feel.
Right, so take that at the Three Arena, and if Fanula can go, you know she will go. And if she can't go, she'll be outside.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
Saying, sign this.
Okay. It does sound more surreal than I would have thought a concert might pick that would be.
Oh, no, their concerts are amazing. Hmm.
They're very, very, very talented. You don't get, whether you like them or not,
you really get a big show.
But you don't have that longevity
yeah.
Or and stay relevant because they've maybe they have gone away and come back, but they've always been ever present there.
Do you know? Well, look at I've paid like their tickets are always expensive, but I have paid the same and gone and what now thoroughly enjoyed it. Like you go and see somebody like Rod Stewart, you go and see Bob Dylan. Like I said, we saw Bob Dylan 4 songs in. I was like, all right, that's Bob Dylan. You couldn't work out who he was on the stage.
Who? But what is your favorite song of theirs?
What is my favorite Take That song? I don't even know what my favorite Take That song.
Oh, come on.
I do like Greatest Day, and I like you put me under pressure because I like all of their earlier.
It's like
stuff
trying to
as
choose
well.
Between your.
I know my
your children.
Well,
yes.
In fairness, well, she definitely comes the second to Take That.
I know, but I meant not literally metaphorically.
Right, okay, so delete that before it goes out. The show show goes out tonight sometime, doesn't it? Yeah, delete that. Yeah, we'll be fine. Yeah, never
so
find out.
Take
said.
That live next year. The scramble for tickets will
you're
be
you're welcome,
insane.
World.
Okay, you're welcome, world. If you believe it, it will come. Exactly. And that's what's happened. Okay, so now I started watching the...
Justified?
No.
Game of Thrones?
No. It's about an aeroplane, a hairy plane. Begins with an M, maybe? Oh, my word.
Oh, Manifest.
Manifest, yeah.
Oh, yes. I only...
Is it good? It is. It's good, right? But I have a real, real gripe here. Mm. Because it's on Netflix, right? There's 2 series on Netflix. So I watched season 1 on my own. It was a little side hustle, right? Mm-hmm. And then it says right into 2. It kicks off. I end season 1. I can't say how season 1 ends, right? Because I don't want to spoil it for other people. Mm-hmm. And then it runs on into the next season on Netflix. And I'm thinking, right, where is this going to? The next season on Netflix is season 4.
Oh.
Right? I've seen
so
that before
the
on
cliffhanger
Netflix.
For, in the cliffhanger for the end of season 1... Right, which is a big cliffhanger, is completely obliterated at the start of season 4, obviously, because there's 2 seasons.
Yeah. Now, it's like as if Jimmy's life is in peril at the end of season 1.
Or
then
the
suddenly
whole thing.
it starts season 4 like, with Jimmy sitting there at the table, and you're
so
like, oh, well,
they should definitely
that.
Switch the auto follow off. For you know, when there's a 2 season gap between
seasons, of course,
the seasons.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So, but that's it. So I'm actually now and off, and I'm not going to watch season 2.
They kind of spoiled
it. But not being funny, it sounds like I'm being funny here, but you'll forget.
No, 100%.
Enough time will pass.
Yeah. And then I started watching the 4th series of You last night because I forgot I hadn't watched that. So
I don't like that.
It's very Dexterish, and I think it kind of just pulls on those sort of emotions. Right,
I'm glad you like Manifest because I've often thought about watching it.
Yes.
It's a weird one in that. That's the one that's about this plane that suddenly arrives
and they
think it's been an hour-long flight or whatever.
They're flying back from Jamaica, I believe it is. There's a bit of turbulence and lightning strikes and they land. As they're approaching the landing strip, they say, this is flight such and such, clear for landing. They go, what? Because this flight's been missing for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they think it's only been like an hour or whatever.
Or just
whatever
in normal
length
time.
Of the flight.
It's not a show that is, oh my God, it's amazing, or I have to see what happens next. But it's okay. I'll watch 14, 15 episodes of it, so it can't be too bad, can it? Yeah.
I held off. Donald Kavanagh had recommended this a few years ago, and I think I had said on air even before, I held off because I was waiting to see would it get an ending. You know these shows that get cancelled? So once I read last year that they had got their final season and they were going to finish the story, I was like, right, I got to make room for that. Because now I now know it's a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah.
Although on Netflix, apparently, there's no middle. It just goes from the beginning straight to the end of Greg's experience.
It's my last PTSD. It doesn't allow me to watch it. I think that's what made me
break. You know what? That was in my head. The whole Lost thing. Right, okay.
You guys are so anti-Lost. You should join me.
Because it was one of the biggest...
Joe Dex and I had a great... I actually started rocking myself when I think it was one of the biggest shaftings
there's ever been. The writers themselves says we don't know how to finish it.
Joe Dex,
then they went down the time travel mode because they got lazy.
Joe Dex and I were chatting about this last week and we both love Lost and both love the ending and we both understand the ending.
I know, but you both just... kind of went down in my estimation.
Right, okay. I'm interested in your views, and I think maybe because of your interest in another TV-based football show, though not in reality, Welcome to Wrexham, Season 2. This is on Disney, Fionnuala. It's on your list.
Yeah.
It's 2 Hollywood celebs with an interest in a football club. They seem incredibly popular. Have you watched Season 1?
Yes, I have. Okay. Oh, God, and I've seen now, I could not give a flying fiddlers for sport. not my cup of tea. And
close to the wire.
That wasn't
too
bad.
Too close.
And I'm not interested in sports. Not really my cup of tea whatsoever. But this, like, when I watched the first episode of this, I was fast forwarding the sport parts. You know, when they were giving me bits of the matches. But by the end of it, you kind of get into it. Mm. It's very, because it's not really about the celebrities, it's really about the people that live in the
Your
town.
Your telly boyfriend Ryan Reynolds is in it, though. That can't be a coincidence.
But he's actually not in it that much. I watched it because he was in it. But he's actually very, he's kind of in it, the first
the bits
episode,
that you didn't fast
maybe
forward.
Halfway through, and then, you know, he's in maybe about
so
three.
So he didn't want to make it about
for
him.
Small
then.
Amounts. It's not about yeah. him. It's not really about the Rob McElhenney. It's not even really about what their decision making process was. There's kind of a little bit in the beginning where they talk about, oh, the wife's going to kill me type thing. But that's really all that it is. But the club itself now, because you just kind of find yourself a bit devoted to it. They've hit, I just noticed the other day there now, they hit 1 million followers on Instagram. I mean, and this is a tiny little place in Wales that nobody in the world ever even heard of. Apparently, it's like one of the oldest football clubs in definitely in the UK, I think, but it may be in Europe or whatever. And they're just growing it from strength to strength. They've moved up one division, which I'm assuming, and that's, I've only watched one or two of these because it's only just started and that's the way that it drops. But they're going to be, it's all about really their move up. They've kept the same manager. They've kept the same group of guys that they have. And like their aim is to try and move up through the leagues, which is not an easy thing. But really what's great about it is they talk to all different kind of people about it. Like, you know, in the first one, they even were talking to like a guy that had an ASBO for football hooliganism and trying to get back into it. They talked to like the police, you know, some of the local people that are in the police that are standing outside it. They talked to the supporters. And I it's a really kind of a nice, light feel good. It's very much kind of in Clarkson's Farm kind of thing. You know, the way, you know nothing about farming and you sit there and you just go, oh yeah, no. You totally watch this guy plough this field or whatever it is, or cut his hair.
But
whatever
what a platform for a small club, because it's global now. I mean, this
oh
is
my
global.
God, the money
got
they're
the celebrities
bringing in. Yeah.
And if they get to the Premier League, this story. I mean,
oh yeah,
it the crossover is huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're in the National League now, isn't that? Is that
division,
far down?
Did they go from Division 3 to 2? I must check.
I think they're 2-1.
So the one.
Like, in the league below the whatever the champions and the national the premiership take thing. I don't really understand it. But I think it'd probably take them about 3 or 4 years if they manage to go up every year, which one would assume eventually.
Right, they're in Football League Division 2.
Oh, and
so then they go to Division 1 and then the Premiership.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So that'll take 2 more years, we'll
so,
say.
So far, the Wrexham beat Doncaster 2-1. And the week before, Wrexham 3, Grimsby Town 0.
Have to say now, and they do, I really do enjoy it, and I have been tempted to ask Santi to bring me a jersey. So it just goes to show you do kind of get into it. Like, I don't know where I'd wear it.
I love that. I think that's great. I really do like that.
And it's brought a whole new kind of an audience to, it just shows you what you can do with clubs and things like that. They're not having to plough loads and loads of money into it. Obviously, they initially bought it, but this club was going to the wire. Like, you know what I mean? There was talk of it being disbanded because of, you know, just lack of funds, lack of management, you know, issues with the
And now they're 3 points off the
top of the
table.
And what it's done for the town of Wrexham, and I would imagine Wales, because, you know, how they
But fundamentally, it has to be a good show, and you're enjoying it.
Yeah, it is a good show because it's, as I said, it's about, it's hard to beat the Welsh accent, it's lovely. But it's about the people that live there. It's not about the celebrities. It's, you know, when you're talking, even when they're talking to the footballers, they're not even talking about necessarily their football. They're talking about how they manage with their wives and their girlfriends, what happens when, you know, they have personal tragedies, you know what I mean? They've lost family members. Young players was himself and his partner were trying to have a baby, and you know they really go into kind of like their personal lives and that kind of thing, and it's just there's just something really nice about it. You kind of sit down and watch it with anybody.
Lovely. So that's Welcome to Wrexham. There's 2 seasons on Disney. There's no spoilers because the what's playing out in terms of results and promotions and all is just playing out in real life, but it has and Finuda's not exaggerating, zero interest in football, but enough that she now wants a Wrexham jersey for Christmas. Okay. What do you want to talk about, Michael?
Do you want to talk about the Late Late Show, which we presumably
are? Well, do you know what? I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's take a break.
Yes.
Because that's probably going to be a 10-minuter. To whom it may concern, these are the views of Michael Leddy.
Yes, I watched, I'm sure everybody, I'm sure, watched The Late Late Show, of course, the first of the new season, the first with the new host. And we had chatted about it in anticipation last Friday morning. So we had kind of, what was your predictions? You had the coronas. And
I said, no, I did say that I think I did. I don't really listen to myself, but I think I did say, as long as they don't bring the fella in that presents the show on Saturday night, I'm almost sure I did predict Tommy Tiernan.
Oh, yeah. Well, you did say about the...
So I did predict Tommy Tiernan.
You did say about the going into the RTE canteen. You did. And of course, the first thing they do, like the guest list was Tommy, Hector and Loretta, followed by Mary McAleese, followed by the musical act Chasing Abby, followed by the two Johnnies, followed by James McLean. And yes, they did go into the canteen, as you predicted, and they brought in Tommy Tiernan, who was very funny.
And the two Johnnies. Mm.
Yes.
Can I just say a few things? Firstly, I thought his intro was very good.
I did too.
Secondly, it's his first show, so I would always be, you know, let's see.
Yeah,
so
I
people
agree.
Are going to be completed. Nervous and all yeah. that kind of stuff. But the one thing I would say, I'm not familiar with the podcast of those three.
No.
I didn't know what they were talking about.
No, so it wasn't well explained. No.
I didn't know what they talked about. Then Mary McAleese came on. And there was no sort of guidance there at all. There was no structure to it. It was just a bit of rambling. And I mean that with no disrespect. Mm-hmm. And then James McLean, an interesting interview. But I'm not privy, really, to what he has to endure. So it was the great untalked about, you know. And I was sitting there going, I feel embarrassed, but what are they talking about
yeah.
here?
I had to Wikipedia, yeah.
And what's
yeah.
all that kind of stuff? Yeah. But that all could be ironed out for tonight, like, but I thought Patrick did very well, given, I think he just said maybe darker makeup a little bit. I thought he looked a little bit pale. Mm. There's plenty of potential there, but what do you think, Michael?
I thought the opening was very good, and I agree with you. He comes across as a good host who's very sincere, and I thought his interviewing style, I totally agree, it was unstructured, and sometimes I didn't necessarily know what was being referenced. With the guy who on the whole Poppy thing, I had to Wikipedia it, to be quite honest, because I don't know the backstory.
I know him, and I know that he's starting yeah. Poppy, but I don't really know what he's always enduring.
Yeah, and I had to read
away that, games at second or yeah, first division clubs.
That he gets a grief from both sides.
He was getting death threats, and it turned out to be a young teenager.
But I didn't know underage. That.
We didn't know
but
that.
I didn't know that. That's my ignorance, but there was a presumption that
everyone... I didn't even last that long, to be honest. I gave up after the two...
What was probably missing...
5 minutes into the two Johnnies, I was like, I'm out, lads. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, so they weren't.
I missed James McLean, and he apparently was a...
I'd say it was probably the best... I'd say it was the best part, and the reason I think it was the best part, I think, and I haven't watched The Late Show in decades, but I do know that where it usually... hits the mark is when it takes a serious, semi-serious or serious topic and talks about it. And this was talking about A, his experiences, and B, the autism, the fact that he has his own, he's on the spectrum, the fact he talked about his child, and that was done. It wasn't to get laughs, it wasn't to be cute and funny. And I thought the host, I thought Keelty handled that very well, and it makes me... But then do you remember he had like PK Tonight back in the 90s, and he had shows before? He knows how to interview.
No, he's done it before. The problem is it's always going to be the way the program's produced and what they put on it. Mm. That is where it's going to... Like the two Johnnies work for RTE.
Yes.
They're on 2FM in the afternoon.
They're always, yeah.
Okay, it's not my thing. I don't think they've been put on the radio for me, so it doesn't really matter. Yep. And then mm-hmm. they've got a show coming up on RTE in October. Mm-hmm. The public want a little bit more than that.
Yeah, it's going, as you said.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it's the RTE canteen. I mean, he didn't have to throw stones very far to hit his guests. So that's the first week out. Again, I don't think the first week is the one to judge. I think if people are going to stick around for a few weeks and see how he gets on.
He really needs to hit the ground running.
Though. Yeah, but he needs to. Yeah, but again, I think maybe the first week out, maybe he wanted to be in his comfort zone a little bit. And Tommy Tiernan would be someone he could know will deliver. And it's a good way to start from the point of view of being comfortable for him. Setting off.
Yeah, it's not a counselling service either. I do get where you're coming from.
Yeah. I said to you last week he won't hit his rhythm the first week out, and you both disagreed with me. Now I'm saying...
No,
I'm saying he'd have to hit his rhythm.
No, he won't hit his rhythm, yeah. Like, you can't judge him on the... Like, I know you have to hit the ground strong.
He did. Yeah. We're on about the guests here. I think it's a general acceptance
it was
that
disappointing.
He... Yeah.
He should have been disappointed.
The desk's too high as well.
I'm not saying that you would switch off and not listen to him, but if he walked off that and was happy with it, he needs to ask
But he'll need to.
He
needs to
ask
he'll need
himself
to.
A few questions.
The thing was missing, a lot of those, like an introductory paragraph would have helped with James McLean, an introductory paragraph might have even helped. You know, just would have helped.
I don't listen to a lot of podcasts.
Context.
I knew the three of them collectively. Yeah. I think I was to presume that I knew that she was Joe Brawley's partner.
She's a question mark to me. That
she's Joe Brawley's partner, I think.
Yeah.
They're on RT anyways, don't they? They used to do like a breakfasty thing. And Hector and Tommy are always doing stuff together, but they've done loads of different stuff together, and they've been on RT radio and stuff like that, the three of them together, because of course it's Joe Brawley's partner. They can't go outside. RT don't seem to go outside their own circle.
It's still very default.
I would just love them to book the show outside of Dublin. And the characters that do come on from outside of Dublin, they exaggerate their countryness.
Oh God, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like you can like the Tommy Tiernan we saw on Friday night versus the Tommy Tiernan that does his interviews on Saturday night. I mean, they're worlds apart. The two Johnnies. It's almost as if you're from the country, you have to behave
a certain way. Yeah.
The kind of trope is about your country.
Here's a question.
You suddenly have to adopt. Exactly.
Here's a question.
I just think outside of Dublin that we are all exaggerated country characters.
Well, you've got to wonder about it. For me, I have to say, I think he should be disappointed in it. Now, it wasn't a disaster. There was some really good bits of it. I was surprised at how nervous he came across.
In the opening?
It got to a point where it was a little bit unprofessional. He was so nervous. Mm-hmm. I thought that was this is your job. Like, this is what you've trained to be. This is what you wanted to be when you grew up. He just seemed unreal nervous. I wasn't 100% sure then that thing when he sat in with the audience and he was doing the giveaway. He seemed so nervous about it that he didn't seem relaxed.
I enjoyed that a lot. I thought it was great.
One man's opinion. But
at the end of the day, the people who watch the Late Late Show, like I'm not in the hardcore demographic. I don't think either of you are in the hardcore watchers.
Oh God, we should totally be in it.
Do you think the people who watched every Ryan Turberry episode and loved it?
No, but I'll tell you, the hardcore watchers, A, don't listen to that podcast, and B, don't listen to 2FM in the afternoon.
So it's going outside.
It is us that they're trying to expand the viewership. They need to get us to be like people in our age group. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, I'm in my 50s now, and they need to get us to be listening to it because that's where the longevity for the show lasts.
I hadn't watched The Late Late in decades. I watched that on the player during the week. I was away Friday night. I'll watch it again.
The show to me tonight, if it were me, I were booking it, the show to me tonight should be the family of one of the children that's affected by the spinal surgery. Get mom and dad on.
And do 25 minutes.
Let them speak. Let the nation understand exactly what has gone on with that. Not the people that watch the news, not the people that watch but let the nation understand precisely what's going on. That's public service broadcasting, okay? Bring on a consultant too that can maybe explain. Do you know what I mean?
And
then maybe get a panel on to talk about, attitudes towards politicians, public life. Now, maybe it'd be too heavy to do both of those in the one show, but that to me is that platform for that show.
Yes.
That you sit there, it challenges you, it makes you think, and there's no point trying to dip into the celebrity pool in Ireland that simply does not exist.
Yeah.
We don't have celebrities in this country.
Do you think they'll go back to the RTE canteen again tonight?
Of course they will.
Of course they will, because to be honest, if I was him, I would. If it wasn't my criticism of it wasn't all about him. I did think he was over the top nervous, which I found unusual for his, considering that this is what he does. But I appreciate it's a big job.
The thing there was that he was on with Gay, that he always wanted to do it, that this was the culmination of everything, and I'm emotional.
There's a lot of press that played
to some people and others found it icky.
And there was a lot of, and there's been a lot of press about him, and it was a big deal to start off, and I it would in no way stop me from watching it again. Mm-hmm. That reason for it. What would stop me from watching it again may not have been his fault, although he is the presenter and he should be talking to his producers. Who are the producers? Is it just the exact same people that were there before? Because if so, I'm sorry, somebody needs to be moved from their job.
Jennifer Zapparelli might be on tonight, or this Lottie Ryan. Well, Lottie Ryan won't.
But this idea of having them all, as you say, the canteen. Mm. And then what was the... If this was his first night and he hasn't done this in a while, why do they have so many people in the past? I didn't understand why Mary McAleese was on with the other three. Like, why would they not finish?
Because that's what Graham Norton does, right? You fill up the couch.
I know, but it was his first time. Second of all, it's Mary McAleese.
Also, the big...
She's not just some celebrity. This is a woman, you know what I mean? A woman of substance.
The big joke was that he would cut back to the pub and they'd be miserable all night.
Yes,
and then at the end, he said drinks.
No one
told the guests that because the three podcasters cocked it up. Because they were saying, give us a wave, why are you looking all so miserable? The reason they were looking so miserable, because that was the lead up to the big reveal. Yeah. Like someone should have said, right, we're doing a sketch where everyone's miserable, play up to that.
Yeah.
Because it's the joke. It is the joke.
Yeah.
But that joke was ruined because then...
They didn't let them in on it, yeah.
The pub started waving and all. The three guests should have been told, stay shtum on that or else play up.
And then it would turn,
basic stuff for a national TV show, that's the type of preparation.
Well, again, and that's the producers. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was the idea, like everybody talks about the James McLean interview. And to be honest, I missed it because after a couple of minutes of the Johnnies, I was like, yeah, I cannot. It's just not my cup of tea. Cannot be doing with this. And I said, and this is the exact same stuff that was on before.
Mm-hmm.
Even I thought the band was a bit of an unusual choice for his first time out, but that's not my cup of tea. Maybe maybe they're aiming younger than I think. Maybe they're trying to get people in their 30s or something like that. As in, like you could totally see now, you know, like who's on tour now is like Vogue and Jenny. Therapist ghosts me and I'm like, oh yeah, I feel they may be on this week.
Yeah, I think they were on Ryan's last one though, so.
Yeah, but I'm just, you know, that's exactly where you're like, oh, this is where this thing is headed. So who are they aiming for? Like if they're aiming for, is it that they want it now, get the 30-year-olds to be watching it and they're aiming for it down there? Sure, they don't really know who Mary McAleese is. So what's the point in that? They wouldn't know all the others. Whereas for me, knowing who Mary McAleese is, I'm like, why is Mary McAleese made to sit with these other people?
Yeah, but there's no real structure to that too, because obviously in prep they had agreed that the joke would be that she's banned from the sideline of the GAA, right? But it wasn't set up. So it was kind of going back to that and skirting around it and all, but it wasn't... When you set up questions for guests, which I've never done, so I don't... You need to make sure that you stick to the structure or else it just turns into an omni-shamble.
Yeah.
The Late Late Show is past its sell-by date. Didn't watch it and never will. Another, if you don't know who the two Johnnies are, you are the ones out of touch or out of date. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, of course, yeah.
I know, but I would assume that people in their 60s or 70s might... I know who they are.
But they're on 2FM in the afternoon.
I know they are, so I just don't enjoy it.
If you listen to David James, you don't listen to the Johnnies. You know, that sort of...
That's what I mean. And also, I do know who they are. I just don't enjoy their brand of comedy.
Lads.
But they're not aiming it at me, which is... So that's perfectly fine. They're highly successful.
You're not in the demo. You're not in the demo. Yeah.
They're very successful in their own field. I'm just in the one field over.
The desk did look like it was knocked up. Now, I think there was a couple of nails sticking out and it was too high. It's kind of a desk you'd need for zig and zag, to cover on what's going on underneath.
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's going on with zig and zag?
I think that was the main
what's
thing.
What's going on with
zig and zag? It's a puppet!
No!
It's a puppet!
No, you did this the day Bosco was on too. I don't believe you.
I just think the whole thing was just kind of... They should have hit the ground running and they did not.
Listen,
make up ground. It's not all his fault.
My review is, and I'll watch another one, I don't know if I'll do it tonight. My review is that... They've made a good choice with Patrick Kilty as host. I think if anyone can maintain the future of that, it is he. Mm. But if they continue with the style of guests that they're introducing, the program's not going to be for me. So I wish Patrick Kilty all the best going forward, but I won't be on board. Push some barriers. You know, let's get a national conversation going. There was an opportunity, there are a million people watching to make a difference on something. And talking about autism did to some extent, but I think there's just more they could do. So my review is thumbs up for Patrick. I hope he settles down a bit tonight. But if it's going to go with that format going forward, I'm not in.
Mm. Well, I think you're going to find a lot of people were like me. They were kind of tuning out by that point.
Mm-hmm.
And they missed out on the James McLean. So if that is the thing that they wanted that to be their big interview, they should have had it hit the ground with it. You know what I mean? If they wanted that to be...
It would have been a good opener.
You know what I mean?
It would have been a good opener,
And then
I agree.
Finish with the canteen. That's fine then. You know what I mean? Finish with the guys from the canteen
that's
that you
like
want to promote the
Greg's
shows. And
drones. Every time I see a drone shot, even I was watching that following the
Faints.
But it's like now, next time I watch, you're not sorry, you're smiling.
Yeah, you're
next time
I'll
be like, oh, RTE canteen, RTE canteen,
yeah.
RTE canteen every week. But I think he would have been a better opener, maybe would have set the tone. But the one of that, I still think the opener was fine because he wanted to be in Keelty's comfort zone with people he really wanted there to set the tone. I had no problem.
I think I'm with getting to doing that. We're not here to indulge people either. This is
But you want him to be comfortable.
Profile.
He's doing a long,
he's not,
you know,
and,
he's doing a long,
you know,
show too.
He's getting paid nice money for that.
Yeah.
You know, he's not, this is not, you know.
So I'm the only one liked it.
We're not.
No, I
really liked it.
I thought I was quite balanced in my review of it.
I didn't. It's not that I disliked it. It's not that I would never go it again. I just found it. I just think you'd have to be disappointed in it. I expected more from it, and I did not go in expecting an A plus. But I don't even think, like, I would have given that a C.
You see,
missed opportunity.
As well as
there.
That, in this day and age, right? We all have access, direct access to celebrities.
Yeah, it's not a team.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's not a thing anymore. So the days whereby you bring on a celeb and it's like, wow, oh my God, the days are gone.
You're going to love the diva.
But do you know what I'm on about now? It's just.
It's not a big deal,
It's not. So you have
you need
to
better
change,
content, yeah. yeah.
You have to change the show up a bit.
Yeah. They're doing a celeb goggle box now, Ireland.
Right. That's going to be.
Have they done that before?
Huh?
No. Because who's on it? Tommy Tiernan, Hector, and
really,
yeah. I just saw a trailer for it, and I was like, oh, they're clearly really trying to push this.
Paul Claffey and Jerry Rabbit in that good double up. I'd watch that.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see where that definitely end up in court.
okay, right. We'll be back with more from Michael and Fionnuala and you at home after these. A caller says, from someone who was in the audience, I felt exactly the same as yourselves, but that wasn't the feeling on the night. Most around felt it was a resounding success, so I just figured I'm getting too old. Say what?
Was that somebody in the audience for Late Late?
Yeah.
Oh, first of all, I want to ask her how the heck they got tickets.
Could have been a he.
Because more as I give out about it, that's not to say that I don't want to go to the toy show.
Yeah. Keelty should get more unique Irish stories as the celeb well will be drying up, similar to Graham Norton's. The band were called the Grand Thorntons, a joke on RTE. As far as I know, they are on their 12th pint in Dundrum. The two Johnnies are loud and boorish and are near my age-ish. I'm more shocked that Fionnuala is 50. Also, James McLean is now with Wrexham. That comes in from Kevin and Dunlop. Of course, James McLean is with Wrexham. There you go. You sound like three negative Nellies about the Late Late Show. So, in fairness, there's 1.5 negative Nellies.
Yeah, I've consistently Michael's said I really
consistently said
I enjoyed it.
The ears here.
I know, but I consistently said I really loved it. But I mean, that was just me.
All right.
Sorry
by
to
the
be
way,
so negative and saying I liked it.
If
and
you're in and
again.
Around Carrigart, get down to Boyce's Centra. They're celebrating 100 years in business. John and the team from around the Northwest are broadcasting live from the store today. There'll be spin the wheel prizes, entertainment, refreshment and much more. So if you're in the area, please do pop by and say hello. There's a ton of traffic always in Centre anyway, so it's going to be a great day in Carrigart, no doubt. Right, so Late Late Show was your one, so
yes.
We'll go back to some of the stuff on your list. Justified's back on. Why is it? Because you've watched more of it or what?
No, because the last time I just mentioned it because I wanted to let you know, but actually I've actually genuinely been watching Justified because that's the City Primeval is the new, I don't know if it's going to be a new list of series.
It's a one-off season, but they're talking about doing more. It's a one-off
there
season.
You go. But because I'm just watching Justified because it's all on it. But it's good. I'm enjoying
it. You in season two?
No, not yet. Now I'm controlling myself because
okay,
I normally go a bit
You're
crazy.
Learning to be like me and drag these things out. Good.
It's just there's nothing good coming up. Not that there's nothing good coming up. It's very difficult to find anything new now that's coming up. So I'm kind of looking back on old stuff again. I'm watching Elementary on Alibi. Like this strike is really, if it's having this impact now that we've had no major announcements of any of that big fall show, which is normally now we'd be hearing about the stuff
something,
that's going to start in October, that's going to run up to Christmas, that's going to be the big thing.
But having said that, let's not forget that as of last year, there were like 700 and something scripted shows available from North America and UK. We haven't seen all 700 of last year's shows, so I don't think nobody's going to be stuck.
Yeah, but you have to understand that 650 of them are crap.
Yeah, well... True. Maybe. There's always something out there like that we haven't
seen. So how far in are you, season one, then, of Justified?
I'm almost at the end of the season. Right. End of season one.
So it's getting good.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm really enjoying it. Timothy Oliphant is excellent in it. I'm loving all the different characters coming through. You're kind of getting to fond of them and knowing them. Great accents, Kentucky and all that kind of thing. It's a real drawl, the way they talk. And you can tell they're really setting it up. There's a guy after getting out of jail, and I just know he's going to cause a lot of problems down the road. So it's all that kind of thing. But it's just, looking for shows to be watching again.
Hasn't watched Justified, it's a really good show.
I love it. Sorry to be negative, but I love it.
Yeah, I think we need to be
watches. You three people hate Justified. Why?
Yeah, why do you hate Justified, Michael?
No, it's good.
I mean, you only gave it 10 out of 10. Come on.
It is. I'm enjoying it. I'm glad that I said that I watched it. Actually, that was the thing I wanted to ask, because I noticed what's coming up now is The Matrix, right back to the beginning. Is it worth watching The Matrix
again? Never watched the films.
Yes and no. I think it lost the plot. Yeah. Is the best way to put it. The third one is not well. I remember watching the first one back in the day when it came out.
I saw them all in the cinema.
Yeah, the third one is controversial. It's one of those things where most fans don't like the ending, like Lost.
Yeah.
All right. Between Lost and The Late Late, probably we have been negative.
It's a really long list this week. I had about 6 or 7 things. Do you want to finish off? I watched the ending of that. The following events are based on A Pack of Lies, so I can talk a little bit about the ending.
Go ahead. Spoilers.
So this is the thing that BBC have been running on Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock. The last episode is next Tuesday, but I watched it on the player. I watched it ahead of time. It's interesting. I went to Twitter because I said it's really been getting a lot of praise on Twitter that I'm not necessarily feeling. But these are a couple of the things. Somebody had said powerful stuff about toxic relationships, narcissistic men, coercive behaviour, manipulation, and verbal, emotional, and physical abuse. Someone else said absolutely brilliant, superb writing, directing, and performances. And someone else said, and this is not a spoiler, but the monologue in the final episode makes me sad, angry, and terrified in equal measure.
But what is it?
It's a show about a woman who finds that her husband, believed dead for 20 something or 18 years, is actually a very successful con man who basically moves around manipulating, conning women, getting money off them, and then moving on. And it is, it's obviously getting a lot of praise because of the subject matter and because it does shine a light on this thing of gaslighting. And we do see how he does this thing with the woman he's with for the 5 episodes, as he kind of even moving things around in the kitchen so that she starts to doubt herself as to where she put the tea kettle or where she put the tea or whatever, this kind of stuff. But it's quite outlandish. I found that I did enjoy it and I would give it a thumbs up. But at the same time, the plot contrivances were really outlandish as it was on. Like, I mean, it's, you know, one of the characters is this very successful author. She's clearly meant to be a combination of George R.R. Martin / J.K. Rowling. She's just finished this 7-book series about dragons and everybody loves her, but she's very wealthy and obviously he's after her money is what we're led to believe. And then you have the actual protagonist of the piece is Alice, Rebecca Stanton, who is an ordinary dress designer who is not a celebrity in the same way, but she is the one who is... She looks like an amateur private eye / stalker for most of the series because she's the one following him around, trying to figure out what he's at, because he's got a very reputable reputation at the moment. He's this expert on global warming and everyone thinks he's the greatest thing since... She's the one who's like, you know, he's a con man, but who's going to believe her? I liked it. I thought it was a bit outlandish. But again, Twitter loves it.
Outlandish, do you mean far-fetched? Or?
Yeah, it was just the contrivances are a bit... Like, some things that happened in all of the episodes, sometimes you're like, you know, in order for this to work, you have to believe... Like, he's such an obviously over-the-top sleazy guy. Mm. You're like, really? Like, the number of lies that he stacks on and the way he... Like, this woman... These are in the early episodes, which went out... It's going out on Tuesday nights. Like, she has this foundation that helps students and the way he insinuates himself into it and absconds with some of the money because of a supposed hostage crisis in Greenland. You're like, is she so dim that she falls for this?
Have you seen the thing? Remember the thing that was on Netflix about the con man?
Manipulator, yeah. No, that's not what it's called, but yeah.
I can't remember what it's called either. It was about the guy. It wasn't in... It wasn't in
a... Because there's a documentary on it and there's a programme that was made on it.
Yeah, and it's amazing how
people do.
They get you into the frame of mind, but they also also actually end up believing
exactly,
it.
And they pick their victims who maybe are vulnerable or open or impressionable. And that's what happens with these romance frauds as well.
Of course,
People will fall for stuff. Especially if it's matters of the heart.
Well, they say, like, even in one of the episodes, they say that when Alice is talking about getting him, and she's like, even if we get him in prison, he'll write a memoir, women will write to him from all over the world, some woman will propose, he'll marry someone, he'll be out in 5 years, he'll be a celebrity. And in the final episode, without, not a spoiler, but they have a nice montage at one point where they put up a quick image of Jimmy Savile and Epstein and Jim Jones, the cult leader, and all this kind of stuff. And they make the point that it's a man's world and the man's narrative is the dominating narrative. And I think that's why it's been embraced. Critics have embraced it too. It's got 78% on Rotten Tomatoes, 91% from viewers. I liked it. I did think it was a bit outlandish sometimes, but I finished it and I do recommend
what
it.
What out of 100 are you giving it?
Out of 10?
Just a 10 then. I can multiply it by 10.
What's this? 70.
70 out of 10?
7.
So you see, I genuinely sit presenting this show and my views are formed sort of as I go. You know, whether we're talking about lighthearted stuff or serious stuff. And a texter texted in, Fionnuala, and with an assessment of The Late Late Show. And I read it and I'm going, you know what, actually, maybe I agree more with this person than Fionnuala.
Okay.
And it reads as follows. I feel Fionnuala is a bit harsh on Patrick Kielty. I don't agree with that necessarily. I thought he put a lot of thought into his first show, which wasn't easy for him. He had something for all ages, including the younger people with the two Johnnies, someone from Sporting, James McLean, and the very popular podcasts, who would she have had on the first show? Which I'm not going to ask you to answer that. But I suppose, in fairness, it was the digital side of things with the pods. Mm. Someone from sport that hasn't done an interview before. Two Johnnies for the younger ones. So, you know, as I say, it's horses for courses. But there's something to that text.
I don't disagree with it. I think, I suppose, expectation, as with everything, can cause, can get you thinking that it should be a different way. It just didn't make me think, I can't wait for next week. If that had been the show three shows in,
maybe.
Perfect.
I get you.
Just hitting the ground running didn't really give that feeling to me.
Slow Horses with Gary Oldman on Apple TV. Very good show.
So good.
So good.
Three series of it. We're still waiting for the fourth.
Spies that are in. I started that, right? I must go back to that.
That's like 10 out of 10 episode after episode.
If you remember, it so just good. Screams, you know, that if you ever watched Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. Mm. Loved it. Basically,
do you mean the original Alec Guinness or do you mean the one with Gary Oldman?
But I've never saw the original one. If you watch that, you're really going to get this whole premise of this thing. Basically, what it is that there is a place where spies who mess up, but not badly enough to be sacked, but they're not really rated, are kind of sent, and they do all the kind of dog's body work. So they're sent out, and we go, oh, I think Greg might be involved in something fishy. Somebody needs to go out and go through his bins.
Yes.
Yeah. And then report back. So they're given all these kind of like
punishment. You can't get sacked, but you can get sort of.
So I think the point is that they want them all to resign. That's what they really want.
Sort of thing.
Constructive dismissals.
Yep. Gary Oldman is quite possibly the grossest human being. He's so good. But like he's, you know, it's sort of pans to him and his feet up, toe out of the sock, whiskey in hand, scratching himself. You know, that kind of just.
And he's the worst boss. He'll gather them in the room and he'll say, I have no expectations of you people. The bar is low and every day you manage to disappoint me. It's just the worst.
It's just terrible. But then they just end up getting accidentally caught up in a whole big story and they run with it. Yep. And, you can see them all kind of getting their confidence back. And there's some brilliant actors in it. It's an excellent
thriller.
It really is. The fourth series has got to be coming soon.
So that is where we have to leave it because we have to make way for John Breslin live. Exciting. Fionnuala, you're not going to be on for a couple of weeks.
No, I'm going to be away.
So we're going to deputise people.
That's it. I'm nominating.
Will I go out with a sword and on the shoulder I will tap random people on the...
I think you could get arrested for that.
I know. I think
My records are sealed.
We need to get Katie, and she watches the daftest thing. She has me watching this thing about figure skaters on Netflix, which just the trailer alone makes me go, ooh, genie.
Or we get Joe Dex in and we'll be all positive. The Lost episode, we'll just talk about the good things in Lost, me and Joe.
As long as you don't get the people that
come. As it is.
As long as you don't get Maria and Donegal Daddy in again, they were way too good.
They were too good.
Oh, yeah, I heard they were very good.
Even my daughter texted me to ask me how Greg sacked me.
Yes.
Do you not know the dynamics of this work environment?
Well, I don't know. That's what she said. She said, did Greg sack you? They were really good. I was like, cheek.
Well, we look forward to your return in a few weeks.
Yes.
Michael will be back.
I intend to anyway, unless I get an email. Yes, I'll be back. I intend to.
And what was I going to say? Yeah, please stay tuned because coming up after 12 o'clock, as I mentioned, John Bresson is live from... Actually, there's something I said I would mention live from Carrigart. Tune in for that. Hi, Greg. Kira here. How's it going? Just wondering if you could share in your entertainment slot, please. Official opening of the new Fitness LK studio and a charity afternoon in aid of Hug and in memory of our beautiful past participant, Mary-Kate. On Sunday the 24th from 2 to 4pm, you can sample the classes we have on offer at Fitness LK, including Clubber Size and Broadway Boogie, and light refreshments will be served from Saunders and Gloria Seasons. The studio is located in the Cube Complex on the Thorn Road, Letterkenny. Have a lovely weekend, everyone. From me, Michael and Fionnuala, bye-bye.
Bye.